Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And Father, I ask you for strength of voice today. Lord, this prayer comes to you out of desperation at this point. Lord, please help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning again. Again, we're starting this Rooted series today for the next 3 weeks. Roots, as we know, are the lifeline of ecology. As we heard last week from Father Ken Weldon, the executive director of Camp Jubilee for the Anglican Diocese of South Carolina, that Jesus himself often taught about roots and about branches, about us being the branches of the vine. We are not the vine. We don't provide the life. We experience the life. We grow through the life. We grow because we are rooted in the vine itself. The vineyard is always a perfect and great example of being rooted. And I think that many times Christians have and can look to tree roots as the example of our Christian life and faith and growth. The roots of the mighty live oak tree spread out very wide on the ground underneath the dirt to stabilize the broadness of the grand trees. The roots of the hickory tree grow very, very deep to stabilize the very heavy, hard wood of the hickory tree. Tree roots are always a great example for the life of a Christian. Though, have you considered the example of the roots of the salt marsh grasses to be an example as well? The cordgrass and spartina roots, they're very small, they're very thin roots. They're vine-like roots, ironically enough. They grow and they weave together. They join themselves in the smallness as individuals, but creating something much bigger when they and much stronger when they're together. They do these amazing things as a unified presence, as a unified body. The system of these saltgrass roots provide vital erosion control. They break up wave energy from the ocean before it reaches the firm land, lessening the impacts of storms. They help control floodwaters. They trap old sediment that helps to protect against any sea level rise. They also help to clean the water, serving as a filter against pollutants from road, home, and commercial operation pollutants. They also act as a sponge of protection. They are home to great amounts of vital wildlife as well, from crabs to fish to oysters to shrimp, so many of the things that are just incredibly crucial for the life of not only the salt water, the oceans, but to the world. The roots of the salt marsh grasses don't grow extremely deep, but they grow together, providing a great protection, unity, providing food, providing cleansing in this unparalleled beauty that we get to surround ourselves and see every day. Our roots can be the same as the roots of the salt marsh. The story that we just read in the gospel reading today from Mark chapter 9, it's a pretty terrifying story. It's one that some of us here present today have experienced firsthand. some fashion or another. It's a nightmarish scene, a young boy who is suffering greatly. And his worried father, who is distraught because he can't help his son at all. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29 that we just heard, it tells this disturbing story of a boy who is afflicted with a very evil spirit. It's a story of pain and suffering, of torment, of cruelty, of crying out for relief, and also the power of prayer. As awful as it is for this young boy to be afflicted with this evil spirit, it's a nightmare. It's a living nightmare for his dad also. Spirit makes this boy mute. He can't talk. It seizes him. It throws him down on the ground. The boy foams at the mouth regularly and he grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. The spirit has even been known to drive the boy to throw himself into fire, into open flames, or into a body of water. It wants nothing more than to destroy this young man. It wants to destroy him. And this happens regularly. It happens all the time. It seems as though this evil spirit can just simply do whatever it wants with this child. The boy is helpless. The father is helpless. People around them are helpless. What a terrifying reality this is. Friends, evil is real. Evil is real, and it is overwhelmingly strong. Well, the father of the boy goes to the disciples of Jesus because he knows that there is something special about them. They're different. There's something going on there. He goes to the disciples of Jesus, and he asks them to help. I've got one right now. Thank you. But even these disciples of Jesus are completely helpless. They can't cast out this demon either. They are unable to alleviate in any way this extreme suffering. And what's more now, what we see in the story is that when they bring this boy to Jesus, that this spirit is so strong that it does its worst work right in front of Jesus. Throws the boy down onto the ground, convulses him. He's writhing about. He's rolling around on the ground. He's thrashing. He's foaming at the mouth. He is experiencing this incredibly great and disturbing event, and it's right in front of Jesus. Truly terrifying scene. The father is screaming out, crying out for help. Someone, please help. Someone, do something. There has to be something that can be done by someone. You can imagine that pain that the father is crying out in. The father's pain for the son. Some even know this type of pain firsthand, personally. A parent feels no stronger hurt than when their child is suffering. Many people have tried to help this boy and his dad with no success at all. And the father's helplessness actually even extends over to his own faith. This evil spirit is too strong. His own unbelief is too strong. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Friends, we know that Jesus is stronger than that. Stronger than this incredibly strong evil spirit that no one can help. Jesus gifts that father and the son. He gifts the father with the gift of faith. He gifts the son with the gift of healing. Thankfully, this frightening story does end well with the healing of Jesus onto the boy. The boy's father is also renewed in his own faith and hope. Probably just keep this here with me now. The father's faith is renewed. His hope is restored. The disciples, though, they're left with their jaws sort of dropped. They don't know what has gone on. Why couldn't we do this? We tried to do this. Why couldn't we do it? Why could we not cast out this demon? Well, I'd like to contend that this casting out of the demon is something that the disciples thought that they could do before they thought that it was something that the Lord would do through them. They thought that it was something that they could simply do on their own strength, on their own power, without having the help that they truly need. Friends, the Lord is always the one who works through his people, through us. We are merely the obedient vessels of his work. Jesus has the great power, the great presence to cast out the most oppressive evil. But it can be painful. Evil does not give up so easily. When we feel the most oppressed and at our lowest, when we have the most suffering, we may feel like that boy who many thought was actually dead when he was in front of Jesus. We may feel like the father of the boy, sobbing, crying out, distraught for his own flesh and blood. Jesus told the disciples that this kind of evil, this kind of great oppressive evil that you are coming across that is stronger than you can imagine, cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Prayer is a lot of things. Prayer is a communication between us and God, but it is not only that. Prayer is a lifeline of hope. There are many ways to pray. And as we heard from the children this morning, Jesus himself teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. The prayers of the saints who have gone on before us, our friends and family and church members, the body of Christ that have gone on before us, have held God's people, have held us in love, in patience, in joy, and endurance for generations. The prayers that we leave now will do the same for God's people going forward. The roots of our prayers act as the roots of the cordgrass and the spartina, working together. The prayers of one may, yes, be small. When they come together, they do amazing work. Amen. Prayer is an acknowledgement of who God is, of what God has done for us, and of how God is working through us. The disciples thought that they could simply cast out the unimaginable darkness that that boy was going through. They failed. They were not yet ready for that work of the Holy Spirit. That will come later. We have seen recently the effects of prayer on some of our members here at St. John's Parish Church. One of our young people was transformed by prayer and the example of prayer by a 7-year-old Ugandan child. There's a man in our congregation who overwhelmingly felt the prayers of God's people holding him up, going through a very difficult surgery. Several of you in this congregation have been brought into a life of prayer through the prayer team ministry. Each of us are formed by our use of the Book of Common Prayer in this ancient Anglican tradition of prayer that we have. Friends, there are many ways to pray, many times to pray. Prayer doesn't need to be overly complicated, lofty, using lots of high, fancy words. It can simply be an acknowledgement of, God, I need help. Prayer does need to be genuine. Prayer does need to be genuine. In prayer, our hearts, our minds, and our lives are transformed by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Prayer can be individual, like those individual roots of the salt marsh grasses. Prayers can be corporate, like all of those individual roots coming together. The prayer is always deeply rooted then in the reality of God. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died, the night before he was sent to the cross. John chapter 17 records what we know of as the high priestly prayer. In that prayer, Jesus recognizes all of the authority given to him by God the Father. He recognizes the great gift of believers to the world. Jesus asked the Father to keep the believers in the Father's name, to keep them from all evil, to sanctify them in the truth, and to make all of the believers one. Jesus then recognizes his followers are being sent out into the world. Not in the world, but not of the world. That the world has hated them, but their unity with each other and with God is for the world to see and then to believe in the Son of God. Jesus prays that our roots may be together and powerful. God works through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and in the power of the Holy Spirit in our prayers. God's will works out in our lives through our prayers. God has given us the great gift of communication to him by prayer. Prayer is the universal language of all faithful believers. The Lord hears the prayers from Christians on John's Island, in Uganda, and in Peru, and everywhere else in his creation. And the Lord has gifted us with a praying church to give ourselves to him in every aspect of our lives. Beloved, be rooted in prayer. Be rooted in prayer. Allow the Lord to work through the great gifts that he has given us. And may we weave our lives together and our prayers together like the cord grass and the spartina, relying on the Lord to work through us as we are rooted in prayer. Amen.
Are the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense? Are the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart? To your heart. Are the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense? Are the prayers of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart, to your heart. Oh, let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense. Let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense to your heart. Oh, let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense. Let these prayers of the saints be sweet-smelling incense to your heart. Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense? Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart, to your heart. Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense? Are the songs of the saints like sweet-smelling incense to your heart, to your heart? Oh, let these songs of the saints be sweet smelling incense, let these songs of the saints be sweet smelling incense to your heart. Oh, let these songs of the saints be sweet smelling incense, let these songs of the saints be sweet smelling incense to your heart.